Well, good morning. Thank you, Dan, for reading that. As I was freaking out, I was about to have a technical failure on my little laptop thing here. So, as we just read that, let's pray and then we'll have a look at God's word together. Please join me. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your Bible. We thank you that we can meet in peace like this. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters around the world who can't meet in peace like this, and we pray for them. We pray for their governments that they can experience the peace that we receive in this country. We just pray today that you convict all of us as we think about how we pray to you and how we don't pray to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, is there a group of people that you probably don't want to pray for, that you would hate to pray for? And my clicker's not working, sorry. Can we get the next slide, please? Sorry, the slide, the clicker's not working. Okay, so yes, sorry about that. Who don't you want to pray for? Maybe it's politicians we see up on the screen. Maybe it's ISIS, ISIL, Islamic State. Who don't you pray for? Who do you deliberately not pray for? Do you avoid praying for a specific group, even though you know that they exist? Or is it even hard just praying for your church family? Why don't you pray for them? We see in Paul's first letter to Timothy, as he continues, he encourages Timothy to pray for all people, even for kings and those who are in authority. See, back then, in Timothy's time and Paul's time, there was this guy, Emperor Nero. Now, this is a guy that, you know, if you had a tea party with Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, you'd walk away thinking that they're pretty much saints compared to Nero. Imagine the worst of the worst, and this guy is running your country. This was the guy, he was most likely responsible for the Apostle Peter and Paul's death, who's writing this letter to Timothy. But Paul is telling Timothy to pray for people like old Nero. You can kind of understand why that Nero is not rating quite that highly on Timothy's prayer list, couldn't you? After so much oppression, you can see why Timothy's really reluctant to pray for Nero. It would be like last year excluded. It'd be like New South Welshmen praying for Queenslanders after 8 long years of oppression. It's almost like, why would you bother? But the important thing Paul is trying to get across to Timothy is that there shouldn't be distinctions between the kinds of people we pray for. But do we pray for all people? We should pray for all kinds of people to come to know Jesus, regardless of what position they hold. The poor, the rich, politicians, Mormons, J-dubs, the Muslims, the atheists. We should pray for all kinds of people to know Jesus. See, as we pray, we should pray outside our own little sphere here at Acacia Ridge, outside our own little world. We should pray for our brothers and sisters here and overseas and elsewhere. But our prayers should be much wider than that. They should be outside of here at Acacia Ridge, and not also just for those who are Christians. We can pray for the salvation of others. We can pray as an intercessor or on behalf of others. And we can pray and thank God for others in our lives. And when we pray prayers of intercession, we are praying on behalf of someone else. We're praying for our brothers and sisters' needs, and we're praying for all kinds of people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Have you ever asked someone, "Can I pray for you?" Have you ever asked a non-Christian, "Can I pray for you?" What about that neighbour who's having a rough time, or that mate at work who can't seem to catch a break? Or that friend at uni or school that feels like their situation is completely helpless? See, we're to pray for all kinds of people just as Paul encourages Timothy to do. So like Timothy, we should be a people of prayer. And once we realize that the spiritual work is not achieved on our own efforts or how crafty or technical we can pray, but rather we start from a real, honest, heartfelt prayer. Once we realize this, we will pray a lot more about a lot more. Did you notice it seems like it's right at the top of Paul's list of things he wants Timothy to put into action when he says, first of all? See, prayer is important. It's like when the disciples of Jesus get rebuked by Jesus for not praying when trying to cast out a demon. We see Jesus placing importance on prayer. And we see in this passage, Paul is affirming that prayer is important. We should take the hint that prayer is important. We too often in everything need to pray first before we do anything. And how often do we forget that? How often do we think we don't need to pray because you know what? I've got this. But also we need to pray for those who are in authority so we can live godly and holy lives, just as Paul writes about. For example, when we pray for our school chaplains as they go through round of a round of high court challenges, we pray for them so that they can get on with the business of looking after those who need their help. And this is why we also should be praying for our government. We have a new government formed yesterday. And we should be praying that we can continue to have the freedom to follow Jesus in this country, because it's becoming more and more hostile to Christianity as others look to move away from Christianity and make it harder for us to live peaceful and godly lives. And when we pray for our leaders, we should pray that they can come to know Jesus. We're doing what Paul is asking of Timothy, if we keep doing that. And if by God's grace, God does reveal the truth to our leaders, we will end up reaping the benefit of living in a society that's governed by people who love Jesus. Because let's face it, if you're worried about our country, it can drive you to two things. It can drive you to despair, or it can drive you to your knees to pray. Which one will you choose? Also, we should pray for the freedom to live out Christianity in this country, for our brothers and sisters in countries that are under governments that are opposed to Christianity, so that our brothers and sisters around the world have the opportunity, like us, to live in peace and quiet and live that out in a Christian way, just like we do. This isn't so we can have the good life now, but so that we can get on with the business of telling others the truth about Jesus, so we can see others come to know the hope that we have in Jesus. And as we do that, we need to first of all pray. Yeah, next slide, please. See, Christians are to pray for all kinds of people. Christians are to pray for all kinds of people because God wants all kinds of people to be saved. Read from verse 3 with me, please. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth. See, God wants all kinds of people to be saved. And just like Timothy, we are to also pray. Pray that God will reveal the truth to those who don't know him yet. But what is this truth? See, throughout the Bible, we read that Jesus came to restore our relationship with God the Father. We see in this passage today, Jesus is called a mediator, the one who brings us back into relationship with God the Father. See, whether you know this or not, this is the most crucial thing you need to get from the Bible. So it's good news the first time you hear it, and it's good news the 100th time you hear it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A lot of us know that verse very well. This is the truth that is talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the gospel, that God sent Jesus to earth to live a perfect life that we could not live, and to die on the cross, paying the price for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. But it doesn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose, conquering death and ascending to heaven after that. This is the truth that saves. This is the truth that everyone in the world needs to hear, whether you're a king, a ruler, a prime minister, an average Joe, the murderers, the drug dealers. Everyone in society needs to know the truth to be saved. They need to hear the truth so that they can come and believe in Jesus to be saved. But before we even tell them the truth, we should pray for them. Pray that God can use us little people to tell others the big truth about Jesus. And pray that he can do the work in their lives to reveal himself to them through what we say and do. Can we get the next slide, please? One of the Bali Nine, Andrew Chan, is in Karabakan prison. Just over the next one, sorry. He was told the truth and is now saved. We've probably seen it on the news. He's impending death in the front of the firing squad. He got the chance to hear the truth and accept Jesus as both Lord and Saviour. But do you think it's worth praying for someone who's a drug dealer, who's smuggling drugs? We need to pray for people like this and everyone else in society, no matter who they are, from the high flyers to the lowest of lows. We should be a people who pray for all kinds of people to be saved, so that they too can know the eternal hope that we have in Jesus. Have a look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. See, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all people. All kinds of people are to know the truth of Jesus. From those in power to those who are powerless, all kinds of people need to know the truth about Jesus so that they can believe in him, so that they can be saved from their sins, so that they can know the one true God. Next slide, please. So why is it we who've been saved struggle so much to pray? Why do we find it so hard to pray? What is stopping us here at Acacia Ridge from being a prayerful people? Do you think we're too reliant on ourselves for our daily needs? We forget that God is even the provider of those daily needs. Or perhaps do we get overwhelmed because we have no idea where to start? I know just recently I was scrolling through my news, some of the way I'm scrolling through as I'm reading my sermon, but as I was scrolling through the news on my computer, I was having a look and I saw these people that are being persecuted for the gospel. And I just scrolled straight past. I just flipped the page, just didn't even think about it. And then I sort of thought about it for a second. I flipped back and actually read it and then prayed for them. How quick was I just to dismiss the prayers that were needed for these people? So I went back, I read it, and I prayed for my brothers and sisters who were in that country, that a country I'll probably most likely never visit in my lifetime. But they need prayer just as much as you and I. So we should be praying for all kinds of people, no matter where they're from. We should teach and pray for all kinds of people, just as Paul does. And as we look, we see Paul makes a point to Timothy that Paul's job is to teach all kinds of people. Paul is a teacher of the Gentiles, which means the nations. He rightly believed no matter where you are from, you need to hear about Jesus. And Timothy is to do the same. They're to teach all kinds of people, and all that they're doing, they are to pray first and then teach others the truth about Jesus Christ. See, Paul was about spreading the gospel, about the truth about Jesus, to every kind of people. Not just the blue-collar people, or the white-collar people, or the rich or the poor. It didn't matter who you are, you needed to hear the truth about Jesus. In doing that, it meant all kinds of people were prayed for. The same went for Timothy. He was to pray for others to know the truth about Jesus. And he was to teach others about Jesus too. Because he understood the gospel, because he understood the truth about Jesus, it left him with no other choice, no other option. This should be the same for us. We should live to pray for others to know Jesus and to teach others about the hope that we have in Jesus so that they too can know the truth. Now see, that this doesn't mean that you have to go and quit your day job and then just walk the streets telling people and everyone that you meet about Jesus. But rather, wherever you are during the week, pray that others may come to know Jesus. Pray that others may come to know the truth about Jesus. And then tell them about Jesus. It's not up to us to make them believe. That's God's job. Our job is to pray for them first and to tell them the truth about Jesus. The rest is up to God. When I was working before I began studying at college, I prayed for lots of people and taught lots of people and told lots of people about Jesus. But in that 6 and a bit years that I spent working at the Supreme Court, I only ever saw one person come to know the truth about Jesus. But after many years of teaching and praying for and praying with this person, they finally came to know Jesus. Now, I didn't always pray about this. And I thought I could do it myself in a sense. Because when I forgot to pray, I was saying to God, nah, I can do this myself. Which is silly, right? It's Jesus who saves, not me. It's the Holy Spirit that works through what we say to save people. Not how perfectly we say the gospel. So the power isn't in us, but in the work God does through us. So we don't have to be the best communicator when we pray or teach others about Jesus. We just need to pray and teach others about Jesus. And God will do his work through that. And as we think about, as we finish up today, as we think about it, we need to do something a bit different. We need to change the way that we live. We can't continue in the pattern of not praying and not teaching people about Jesus. We need to step outside that comfort zone and live out the gospel as Jesus commands us to. So what we're going to do before we close up this morning, we want everyone to turn to the person beside you, hopefully someone else that you didn't come with, and I want you to pray for someone that they know, that they want to know the truth, and also just a group of people that they know. It could be a nation of people, it could be a workplace, it could be a charity that they're a part of, it can be any group of people, and pray for that group of people as well to come to know Jesus. So we'll do that now, and in about 2 minutes, I will close in prayer. So we'll quickly turn to the person, ask them those two questions that are up on the slide, and I'll finish this in prayer in about 2 minutes. Okay, I'll give you 15 seconds and we'll join back together and pray. Father God, we just think about all the people that we're praying for this morning, Lord. We just pray that you can reveal Jesus. We pray that you can reveal the truth to them about Jesus. We pray and think about those family members, those people in our workplaces, the neighbours, the people that we just know, Lord, that don't know you. Lord, we pray that you reveal the truth in their lives. Lord, we pray that you help us be bold to teach people the truth, to not fear the rejection that may come with that. Lord, we just pray for those around the world that don't know you, those missionaries that are trying to reach out to people that that don't know you. We just pray that you can help them in spreading your gospel, Lord. But we just pray that you can help us here at Acacia Ridge be a people that pray about people, that we pray about people to come to know you, Lord, and that you help us to tell them the gospel, Lord. We pray that you can help us teach those people around us the truth about Jesus so that they too can know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we pray that you help us in our weekly lives as we pray more and more. We pray that you convict us. We pray that you help us have conversations with our family members this week about how we can pray more as families, how we can be talking to you more and more often, Lord, and bringing our requests before you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.